Good morning and welcome to me. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning, Ashwini.
From Good Life, a Zen Precepts Retreat. For example, when I see a furry caterpillar making its way across an expansive highway with not much chance of getting to the other side, and I pick it up and carry it away from the road and put it on a tree, I love that. I love the tenderness I feel toward that creature, toward the life that it is, toward its innocence. There it is going along in life with no idea that it's on a highway with speeding cars, just like us. We go through life not knowing where we are in the big picture and whether a truck is barreling down on us and in a minute we'll be squashed flat. I project all of that onto that little caterpillar. I see my life in that little creature. The tenderness I feel for it, I then feel for myself, and I can know tenderness is who I am. That is, tenderness is another word for the compassion that informs all life. As I become more able to experience tenderness inside me, I am more able to experience it outside me. And as I feel it more outside me, I feel it more inside me. I don't want to do anything to harm anything, because there's nothing that harms someone else that doesn't harm me. And I don't want something as tender as myself to be harmed. This practice constantly encourages deepening our relationship with life, the intelligence that animates, the wisdom, love, and compassion of true nature, the mentor. It's through love that boundaries between self and other, mine and not mine, personal and universal dissolve, and compassion emerges as the currency of exchange in an interaction with another. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? First caller?
Nobody.
Hi, this is April.
Hey, April.
So I was really struck by that part about being tender with others because we're tender with ourselves. Mm. And talking about stewardship, and you know, I live out on a farm, and we got this farm probably 5 years ago, and this 83-year-old farmer drove through our property the other day, and I, you know, said, "Hi, how you doing?" You know, some guy's just driving around my yard, and he started telling me that he went to high school with the guy who used to own our farm, and he bought the farm from his dad, and he bought it at 8% interest, and he couldn't make the payments, and so he killed himself.
Oh.
And I was just completely shocked because I didn't know that history about this land that I was standing on, and it just made me feel a lot of reverence for that poor person who was struggling.
Yeah.
And a lot of reverence for the land.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that was back in the 1950s when it was very hard on farmers. And it just, and here I was talking to a person who knew him. He went to high school with him, you know.
Mm.
And I don't know, it just gave me a lot of reverence that we don't own things, that even as I watch, you know, we have a lot of stray kitties that run around, and as I watch them run around, I just have such enjoyment watching them, just sacredness just comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
How sacred everything is.
How precious everything is, right? And with what you're describing, April, the thing that the word that came to me is fleeting. You know, to have a sense. Because there you are. I mean, we could say, well, my God, that's a long time ago, and yet it's right there in the moment that you're talking with this man, right? And that he is. It's so much a part of his experience. It's all happening right now. And it's also fleeting, right? And the
yeah,
preciousness
yeah.
of that, yeah, the sweetness, the
I think he wanted to come and see who owned it now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And here I had, you know, it's changed a couple of hands, you know, until we got it, but I had no idea, you know, that had
well,
happened.
And some of the quotes that we have by Robin Wall Kimmerer, you know, give us that same feeling of, I mean, you can stand on that land and go back to the people who inhabited that land centuries ago, right? All of the lives that have been touched by that and who have touched that land, and which I project that process is what you're really in touch with and really, really feeling.
Yeah, it just felt very sacred talking to that
mm-hmm.
guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for that. It's a very I don't think tangible is the right word, but anyway, such a clear expression of that oneness that we can feel when we allow ourselves to be in touch with either a stray kitty or you know, a story of someone's life, or just looking out across the expanse of the land and feeling our connection with all of it.
Yes, yes, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, April.
Thank you. Gacho.
Thanks, April. Measure, I was so moved in what gets transformed when we have one of those encounters. It's almost just the myopic orientation we have through no fault of our own, which then gets expanded to something that does touch the sacred, right? That sense of continuity of just a difference in perception. That's what changes. And then there is that place of sacredness and gratitude and reverence, because we just get knocked out of a habitual orientation that has been expanded.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's wonderful. It's like you've been looking through a microscope and then you look up and realize, yeah. All right.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jacqueline in San Diego.
Hi, Jacqueline.
This is my first time unmuting myself, and I have been listening for about 2.5 years. And I'm feeling very nervous. I notice the voices are saying, "What are you doing?" But I've been encouraged by somebody that's a part of the practice to get in the queue. So I'm in the queue. And
good for you.
Yes, and I'm
welcome.
Here. Thank you so much. Yeah, my heart just feels like completely broken open by the practice, by the assignment this week. I notice the projection onto the worm, I think it was, that's crossing the street and getting splat. And I've been through a series of medical issues that started with a breast cancer diagnosis when I was 33, about 6 years ago. And something that stood out a few weeks ago from somebody said something about the unacceptable being acceptable. And I find that very difficult. So I'm here because I need this, and I'm grateful for feeling so tender, and I'm grateful for this practice, and I still feel so new to it, even though I've been listening for a little while. But I'm grateful to to be here.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are all grateful to be here, and our gratitude just increases with time, right, Jacqueline? And
yeah.
If I may, what we project onto that worm is it's so accurate, right? Because that is our experience of being in this world. We're just here wandering around, and then something happens, and we get squashed, right? And mm-hmm. So when we find things that help us deal with that, that's what we're grateful for. It's like, give me some kind of a framework to be with the experience of being a person in a conditioned reality and with no tools to deal with it, right?
Yeah.
And so that place of all that is required is what is unacceptable to you becomes acceptable is a process. And that process happens not in a content way, right? So I don't know whatever the content is that's unacceptable to you. The conditioned reality is, well, you have to accept that, right? You have to accept the content rather than acceptance as the process of getting to that tenderness, that compassion, which is what makes something acceptable because it's witnessed, and it's witnessed with affection. There is no requirement to change it or do something different about it, right? And that is the process that we put ourselves into when we come to an awareness practice. We bring conscious awareness to that process and feel the tenderness. That's acceptance.
Yeah. As you say that, I soften, I feel tears. It's just yes. It's just coming on. Yeah, that compassion is...
Yes.
It feels very different.
Exactly. And it feels different from, okay, well, I should feel all right about what's happening to me. Right. That's not what compassion asks for. That should be tender that this is happening to this person.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you so much for that. That feels, it's just hitting my heart so much.
Well, thank you for being here, and thank you for putting yourself in the queue. For letting that tenderness speak, right? That despite that nervousness, despite what the voices say, we're choosing the person.
Yeah, we're choosing the person. Yeah, that's what I'd like to keep doing.
Yes.
Thank you.
So would I, John. So we're doing this together, right? Every one of us supporting each other to do just that.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. I got the tears myself.
Well. Me too.
Just love it.
I think I was just love it. I was almost in tears when I was reading about the furry caterpillar, Sherry. So there we go.
Yeah.
We seem to be having that collective experience.
Yeah. Good. It's so anti-conditioning and so where we want to live. You know, just look at all of life through tears of sweetness and tenderness and gentleness and compassion and loving kindness. Yes.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
Hi, this is J.O. in Squim.
Hey, J.O.
Hey, I am crying over here, too.
All right.
Yeah, I've been crying all week. Part of it is, there's so many things I was looking at with this, but as you know, I had a migraine for like 4 of the 7 days of this week, and it's such a miserable experience in some ways. I loved that there was a conversation about, you know, we do our best to be with the human, and we can also just hate every minute of it, and, you know, I really identified with that.
Exactly. And that is such an important thing to get. Such an important thing. I love this person to pieces, and I hate everything about what's going on. And there's just nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. So I loved how that was said, and it really was helpful to practice in that way. And there's this way that, like, I feel like it just opens up the tenderness too, because, you know, so, like, it feels like a very, like, kind of micro experience of a lot of what I've been looking at and around, but really the place is like, when I, with this week, it was like my life, like, what, that's so ridiculous. Like, how is this my life? You know, this is life, right? And there's so many ways that, like, it feels like this life is unfolding right now that are not what, you know, the little me thought, and they don't, they're not following the conditioned program that might get me, you know, the short term, like, hey, you're being the good, bright person, you know, it's so outside of that, and it's so uncomfortable for all the parts that, or all the places that, like, you know, that thought they would be, I would be following this program, and I'm so outside of the program, and yet, like, I can see, like, yeah, because it's life's life. I mean, it's ridiculous to think that my, and there's so much more that's available as I can be open to that. And so I don't know, something about just like the tenderness of like, I can't, you know, control the migraine, and I don't seem to be in charge of the unfolding of this life. And if I can, you know, just kind of be with all of that, there's this different thing that's possible. And yeah.
Yeah. And yes to all of that, first of all. And I particularly appreciate what you've focused on with the, and I hate this, you know, I've had a migraine for 4 days, okay? Now, would I wish this on anybody? No. If I could make migraines disappear from the planet, would I? Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
And so to get to the place of realizing that not all of the experiences that we have in awareness practice are going to be happy and opening and joyful, you know, the aha that just opens everything up for us and leaves us a different person living in bliss. Okay? It might also need to include, or it might include, but I don't know about need, but it might include being all right with really disliking something, really not wanting something to be the way it is. And having acceptance for the person who feels that way as much as we are eager to accept the person who has what we're conditioned to believe is the right response to everything that happens in life.
Yeah.
Did that hang together?
I think so. I'm already like, I want to hear it back again, so thank goodness it's recorded. But yeah, I think so. It is a...
Yeah, but you're, Jo, you're not being the right person. Okay?
Yes.
Not only do you have this headache, but you hate it. You're not being cheerful and accepting here. You're not expressing gratitude for this migraine. I mean, if you were the right person, wouldn't you be really cheery through this experience? And facing that, right? And that it's okay. However a person feels is okay. You know, Alan Watts said, whatever happens inside the bag of skin, right, is fine and acceptable. So we're not talking about acting out in any particular way. We're talking about an expansive acceptance of the human being we're going through this life with. Right? However that human being feels is fine. Whatever the reaction is fine. Now, we may not choose to perpetuate it, right? We might realize, and that's something I'd like to get on the other side of. But I accept that it's there. It can come into the light of day and be embraced also.
Yeah, it's okay that it's there. It's okay to feel it. And I think just lastly, that's part of like the, if I'm tracking like what, I can't even talk, but because like, I can't, cheerful, productive person, that, right? And like, and that's sort of this meta process that I feel like I'm in too. And like, and that's okay. And whatever is unfolding with that and something
that's
about
right.
that is like expanding
that's right.
in the, yeah.
That's tenderness right. right. Because I am getting... Where I'm going is unconditional love and acceptance, and I can't get there through an unaccepting, conditional relationship with the human being that I'm here with. It's just not gonna, it's not, that's not the transformation. Right? It's not going to work. Has to be all right. However, in this case, however she is, we can understand it. Yes. Yes, I can understand that. Makes perfect sense.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so grateful for this practice. And yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Well, just take care of yourself.
Yeah, will do. It's getting a little better, and I'm super grateful for that, too. So, Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jayo. Pasho.
Thanks, Jayo. And here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Angela in Pennsylvania.
Hey, Angela.
Hi. Just to share, a little backstory was that I had the blessing of being able to rear some monarch caterpillars into butterflies, our community mosquito spray. So I had to, in order for them to survive, I had to bring them in the house and rear them in an enclosure. And everything has just been an amazing, beautiful experience, except one came out that can't fly. Mm. And it devastated me this week because that's its purpose, is to fly and to migrate. And it was very interesting because for a good period of time, I heard a lot about, from ego voices, that, you know, how this is wrong, it's wrong, this whole thing is wrong, it's sad, it's heartbreaking. And what I realized was, in the meantime, there was a part of me that was doing everything that I could. Like, I planted a little garden for it, and now I'm rearing it in the house. And it was just so interesting how ego was so focused on all that was wrong, that there was no room for anything to potentially be right about it. But then when I stepped back, I saw that this human, this heart, was doing a lot of things to give this little butterfly, like, the best life that it had, or that it could have without being able to fly and migrate. And then there's times that the ego voice really steps in and makes all that seem not important at all, that it does have a little garden and it's able to eat and it climbs up a window, a screen all day long. So it has the best life that it can have, but still it's just been very, very hard, and there are a lot of ego voices that come in and, you know, I shouldn't do this in the future, you know, even though blessedly, we have released, you know, almost, well, 30 now healthy monarchs. But still, the 30 that were healthy and flew away, to ego doesn't matter. It's the one injured one that can't fly away that's just been the hard one this week. So I'm grateful for this practice because in the midst of all of that upset and pain, I was able to see that, yeah, there is a heart, there's a human here that is caring for this little critter the best that it can in the life that it has. So I still fluctuate between those two places a lot, but I'm grateful for this practice because otherwise I would be lost in a world of being very upset and hurt and feeling wrong about everything. But this practice helps me to see the beauty in that, even though it's not perfect, it's what life brought, and that is perfect.
Mm. Oh my gosh, Angela, that is so beautifully laid out, because that really goes to the heart of the assignment, right? Because it's not my life. That butterfly's life is not mine. It's the butterfly's life, right? And we have to sort out how to be okay with how life is, which is 30 that fly away and one that is injured, that's life, right? Because that's what happens in life. And our experience of that can be there's something wrong with it, or it can bring us to a place of tenderness from which we respond with love to the thing that we project the suffering on. Mm-hmm. And what gets transformed in that is us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that butterfly is your bodhisattva, and it breaks one's heart to recognize that something as beautiful as that would come into our lives in that way in order to save us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Thank
you're right. Without the practice, it's really hard to not go with the voice that says you're wrong or it's wrong or anything else. Because when we choose not to go with that negation of how life is, and life contains all of it, right? 30 beautiful butterflies that fly away, one that doesn't, an environment that sprays and destroys these beings, right? A brave group of people who then chooses to save them, and some successfully and some not, right? All of it is life. What we don't need is that imposition of that conditioned orientation that judges which of it is right and which of it's wrong. Mostly everything is wrong. But to be absent that just allows us to experience the beauty of it, the tenderness of it, the suffering in it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you.
And Cherry, we have time for one more caller. So next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Mary Jane in Palo Alto.
Hey, Mary Jane.
It's, oh my gosh, I had that little jump. I haven't been able to come on lately, but I came today and I thought, okay, put yourself in the queue, and I want to give away the moon to everyone in the world, you know?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, Mary Jane, I do know. Yes. Yeah.
I think I guess what's coming up, it's hard to separate. Like, it's obviously just in me, but, like, I don't want anyone hurting, or especially being bombed, you know? And, maybe because the UN has been, you know, in the news a lot this week. I've just been, I know you say, like, okay, it's not helping, but sometimes how we, you know, me feeling bad, I don't necessarily feel bad. I think I just, I want to give everyone the moon, you know? It's like,
yes.
Yeah.
The heart just breaks open.
Yeah,
That's what this whole week has really, I project, put us all in touch with. You know, the heart just breaks open. We feel the love, and we just want it for everybody. Because we know if everybody felt that love, nobody would want to hurt anyone or anything. We know that. Yeah. And as with the last conversation, we also know that happens one at a time. You know, one of us at a time gets to the point of our own particular combination of experience, life experiences, that takes us to that place where the heart breaks open and we say, I want to devote myself to loving kindness. I want to live from unconditional love. Make me an instrument of your peace.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's just how I feel about, you know, that's what I want for myself is like, yes.
Yes.
Making it into your piece.
Yeah, to be that. I want to be that. And the thing that I have to do, because we always like to get doing in there, you know, the thing that I have to do in order for that to be the case is stop listening to voices about what's wrong. What's wrong with other people? What's wrong with the world? What's wrong with me? We can't, because that's not where love lives. So that's what we're going to have to sacrifice, is all that negativity, all that judgment and hatred. That's what we're going to have to let go of if we're going to stay in unconditional love. It's really difficult.
Yeah. I can see that I have it. Like, I can let go of it for whatever victim, you know, and it's harder for the people I've categorized as initiating, you know, to let go of that story towards them, that it's not actually going to help them be more loving if I feel that way towards them.
Oh, exactly. And also, I bet you've been looking at this, that we don't know what their story is. If we really knew them, sat down with them and listened to what happened to them, we would, I bet, get very quickly to a place of, well, I can understand how you feel that way, that how, you know, I hear the voices that you're listening to, following those voices.
Mm.
Yeah. Then doing those things makes perfect sense.
I still want it to stop though. But it's, you know, the behavior, like it's the voices, but yeah.
And there we go. Right. So can I immediately stop the behaviors? Well, that'll give me a lot to focus on.
Yeah.
That'll keep me busy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You mean myself, or you mean
myself? Let me become the perfect example of unconditional love, and once I'm there, then I see if how I want to be in relation to other people. Do I still want to decide what they're doing wrong?
Okay. Maybe that's for another. Maybe I have to call an opener to talk more about that. Because I guess I like doing like a little bit of seeing where I can contribute in the world and doing my own work. You know, I guess.
Oh, we can contribute, Mary Jane. I'm not saying don't contribute. I'm not saying that. Yeah, it's can I contribute from love and not judgment and
exactly.
Hate.
Yes. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We're
on the same page. Thank you, Mary Jane.
Thank you.
Go happy.
You too.
Thanks, Mary Jane. Go happy. Oh, what an incredible show, Sherry. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. And today really is Friday, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So we really do have another one, another week's assignment coming out in just a little bit. So, all right. Take good care, everybody. Go happy. Thank you, Ashwini.